cook in Yom Tov, and the modern phrasing of that is, what's the deal with the Shabbos mode ovens in Yom Tov? The next question, which is probably most frequently asked, is showering over Yom Tov for American Jews. And the third is Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. That's in my experience, those are the most common ones, which you have to be prepared in advance to discuss. And we'll go through each one. The first question of cooking Yom Tov, the background is that, as you know, the Melachas Yom Tov are different than Melachas Shabbos, because in Melachas Yom Tov we're allowed to do Oichel Nefesh. Torah says, Eisei She'ochel Oichel Nefesh, in the middle of the Parsha of Yom Tov in Hilchas Pesach, in Parsha's Bo, Eisei She'ochel Oichel Nefesh Hu Levad Yosel Lechem. So the halach is one cannot do any Melachas Shabbos on Yom Tov, with the exception of those Melachas that are Oichel Nefesh Melachas. The poskim, certainly the Ashkenazi poskim, have accepted very, very much the position of Tosfos that the halacha is milishva elach is mutter. In other words, they cannot do any of the meleches Shabbos on Yom Tov from Zareya till Lisha, and from and then afterward the ones that are listed after Ha'ofa, with the exception of the similar ones by Behema, Shechita would be Mutter, Tzed would be Yosser, and Havar and Hoitzot would be Mutter. Those are the Melachas that are called Melachas Oichel Nefesh. How do we know that? Because of a Drasha, Yerushalmi quotes a Drasha, that we learn Davka Milisha Ve'elach. But every other Melachas categorically also, just like Shabbos, those malachis are malachis that are mut, they're called malachis oichel nefesh. The Ramban has a different way of phrasing it. The Ramban says that if you look throughout Chumash, you'll see that malachis Yom Tov is always referred to as malachis avoda. Malach and Shabbos is referred to as malach, le'sasakom malacha. And Yom Tov is referred to as malachis avoda. Ramban points out there are two exceptions which prove the rule, and that is that on Yom Kippur, the Torah says Malacha na Malachas Avodah, because Yom Kippur even Malachas Ochel Nefesh is also. And the second is in the context of Parshas Bo, when the Torah is describing Ach Hashoch Ochel Nefesh Hu Levado Yosel Lechem, so that possibly begins this Asakom Malacha, because that's where we're defining what Malacha Malachas Avodah is. So Ramban is a different approach, that it's a different kind of Malacha, just like there's a different kind of Malacha according to many Rishonim, which is Osan Chol HaMoed, a Melechas Tircha, for example. So on Yom Tov, it's Melechas Avoida, which is Osir. And the Rambam's position is much broader than Tosis. Rambam's position is that every Melechas Shabbos, when done, L'Oichel Nefesh, is Mutter on Yom Tov. So again, the Shitas HaTosvis and the Mahalach of Poskim is to only be Mekel on Milisha Ve'elach. I don't know what the Hachrov of the Sephardi Poskim is. If you're a Rav of a Sephardi community, so you have to find out what the Hachrov is, because Shulchan Aruch does quote the Rambam Shita that every Melacha is can be done L'Sarech Echol Nefesh. The difference in Lomdus between the Ramban and Tosis is probably the difference in Lomdus is that according to Tosfos, Melechas Shabbos and Melechas Yom Tov is the same Iser. And in Yom Tov, the Rebbeinu Shlom was Matir Melechas Oichel Nefesh. The Shagasari explained Simchas Yom Tov. In other words, essentially it's the same kind of Iser Melecha. But Litzarech, Simchas Yom Tov, the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us an exclusion. And according to Ramban, it's different kinds of Melecha that are Osir. The Ramban says the Melechas Avoida means Melechas that are done for long periods of time. Melechas that are done, if the person does Zuriyah is not for today. Ketziv is not for today. Bishul is for today. Right? So that's the Machlekes Ramban and Tosfos. So once suggested that it's a deeper Machlekes, that on Yom Tov, Melechas, it's the same kind of melachas in Shabbos. A melacha is it can be, it's in one of two ways. Either the Yisur Melachos to relax from creative work to remind us of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. And on Shabbos, we remind ourselves of Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Borei Olam B'Toich HaBriya. And on Yom Tov, we remind ourselves of Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam through his involvement in our lives. That's the way we look at it. Or it could be that on Shabbos, we pause from creative work to appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Borei Olam. And in Yom Tov, we pause from activities that people plan long periods in advance. We pause from the activities that through which we feel a great sense of control. Because we want to appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Goyel. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who's managing. And Sukkos, Hashgacha Pratis, and Shavuos, our planning plans around the Rebbeinu Shem's Torah. So it could be that it's a really different kind of malach altogether. There is another essential difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that is that on Chiluk Malachis, on Shabbos is Chiluk Malachis, and on Yom Tov is no Chiluk Malachis. And Shabbos, when brings a korban for every single malach that one does, and on Yom Tov is one malacha for all the different malachas. And that probably relates to this issue as well. I mean, that when one is thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu as being a boirei, so then we think of the various activities of Kadosh Baruch Hu as a boirei olam. When the Chinuch says that the Shvisa on Yom Tov is a Shvisa in order to give us time to ponder various themes, but it's not to highlight the theme itself. So therefore, we're not looking at any individual activity per se. So that could be, again, these could be understandings in the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Psy according to Taisus one way, and Ramban in a much more fundamental way. However, halacha lemaisa, one is allowed to do melechas eichel nefesh. And Bishul is a melechas eichel nefesh. So Bishul should be mutter. Chazal asserd any melacha that could be done yesterday, Erev Yom Tov, with the exact same kind of impact. If I, for example, when I trap an animal, so when they trap an animal Erev Yom Tov, or trap an animal on Yom Tov, so it doesn't matter at all. So Rambam would say that shows that it is osir on Yom Tov, and we would say, Tais would say, it's not Melisha Eilach, because Melisha, you have food when you're finished. Say there's no food when you're finished. But let's say take the Mishnah Berurah says, let's say, making noodles. Mishnah Berurah says that making noodles, if you make noodles, Erev Yom, they taste better on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah Berurah says making noodles is a melacha av afiyah, but it's an afiyah she'ef shal asoysa meyesmo. You could have done the afiyah yesterday. And he says, for carrot, it would have been better noodles than yesterday. So Mishnah Berurah says, that's when Chazal said, that's also. It's also to prepare food on Yom Tov, if I could have prepared them yesterday, and it would have been the same, could have tasted the same. We generally assume food does not taste the same if it's prepared Erev Yom Tov. So therefore, we say, fresh food prepared today, always. However, when there are certain macholim that are clearly as good or clearly better than very, very few, when they're done Erev Yom Tov, so then there's an Issa the Rabbanon to do them in Yom Tov. B'di'evan, if a person would end up making noodles on Yom Tov, so the halacha is that we would be mekel and allow them to be eaten. So when it comes to Bishol, we overwhelmingly say that it's Efshel HaSoysa, Efshel HaSoysa Meyesma. Mishnah Berurah says what happens if it comes Yom Tov. I was so busy Erev Yom Tov and I didn't have a chance to make my noodles. So Mishnah Berurah says it's also called Eishal Soysa Meyesmo and allowed to bake them on Yom Tov itself. Machshir Yechel Nefesh, fixing the oven, says Eishal Soysa Meyesmo. Doesn't matter if you fix the oven on Tuesday, fix the oven on 2 days before Yom Tov or when you want to bake. So therefore, that's Eishal Soysa Meyesmo. So therefore, it's also on Yom Tov. That could even be an Issa Deiraisa. Now, what about starting the fire? The baking, cooking is mutter in Yom Tov. Havara, keeping a fire going, mutter in Yom Tov. Havara is one of the malachas that the Mishnah says is like a malachas echel nefesh. Havar Noitza. What about starting the fire? Being Moilid Eish. So, when it comes to Moilid Eish, Mishnah says, Chazal Asrid being Moilid Eish. Chazal Asrid starting a fire. They Asrid striking a match. They Asrid rubbing two rocks together. They Asrid creating a fire with a magnifying glass. They Asrid opening up the gas flame and having an electric igniter creating the flame. Right? That's Moilid. Right? Why do they Asrid Moilid? So Rambam has a chiddush. Asrid Moilid because Efshal Soysam Yesmo. You could begin the fire yesterday. In other words, it's a form of Ha'orah that I could have started yesterday. To cook on this particular log, I couldn't do yesterday because this log that would have started the fire has to be gone today, be ashes today. But if I have a large bonfire, so I could begin it yesterday, begin it today. Same fire. So beginning it yesterday does not in any way make my food taste any less. So Rambam holds it's Efshal Asoysim Yesmal, and therefore Chazal Min Rabbanon is also to start a fire on Yom Tov. And Rashi says there's an Isur Moilid. Rashi says in addition to all of the Melechas Oichel Nefesh, Chazal Aser Moilid. Mishnah Berurah discussed at the very end, I think of Shinjin Ches, I think. The Mishnah Berurah discusses the Isur Moilid. Isur Moilid is to make something new. What it make? They take an ice cube. The Gemara has, if you take ice and you melt ice and you create a pool of water. So that's called moilid. I take something, I do a maisa biyadayim, and I create a recognizable new thing. Isur of moilid. So we apply the isur of moilid by melting, some apply the isur of moilid by freezing. Anything which is, again, something, a maisa biyadayim. You take gelled gravy and you move it close and you move it, put it into a place, take it out of the fridge and put it near a place. Biyadayim, or you hold it with your hands in order to create gravy. So that would be a moilid biyadayim. If you take an ice cube and you put it into a drink, then it's not called moilid because it's not recognizable. You don't see it. It melts very slowly. But if you take an ice cube and you hold it in your hand and you take one ice cube and you put it into one bowl, that could be moilid. So the Rashi says, in the middle of Shabbos, Rashi points out, Chazal asid is a moilid pshat. So Rashi explains that Chazal, it's not unique, but it's really almost a paradigm of other takonos of Chazal. Where Chazal looked at a parsha in Halacha and apparently understood a yesoid in the parsha, and then were magdir and isur based on that yesoid. So Rashi says that Chazal looked at the parsha Malachis. They said, "What's Malachis? Malachis is new things, making new things." So the yasur is making new things. Is Yorda Chazal Asayf Divrei Torah? And then they were magdir it. Then they were the lumdas, and then they were mechadish din based on that lumdas. So so Rashi holds that it's also to create a new flame, a new fire on Yom Tov. That's a special Isur of Moilid. The Maril Diskin says a little bit differently. Maril Diskin says that the pshat is that Rashi was saying it's really a form of makeh bepatish. The din de rabbona and the kafs of makeh bepatish. The achronim say it comes out a very strange thing that the malach of havara is mutal echel nefesh, but the iser of moilid is not mutal echel nefesh. That's some achronim discuss the taz discussed it. That's an echanami. That's hakin the din, but he says it could be that. When you do something which is so visibly new, so Chazal were more machmir on it. Therefore, they're more machmir on the Isur of Moilid. All right, how do you explain it? Kacha din, that there's Isur of Moilid, and Chazal established the Isur of Moilid and Yom Tov, and there's an Isur to be Moilid Eish, to create a new flame on Yom Tov. That's awesome. Either according to Rambam, because Efshal Asoysa Miyasmo, or according to Rashi, a special new din of Moilid. There would be enough Kamina Ledina, and I don't know if the if Sfaradi poskim paskin this way. But the Rabbi Yosef points out that if a person, let's say a person is moiled b'shinoi, so according to Rambam that would be mutter, or a person didn't get around to starting the fire yesterday. They were going to start the fire. They were going to put the logs together. But something happened, they got called away. So according to Rambam, he'd be allowed to be moiled. According to Rashi, he couldn't be moiled.
Would starting a new flame on, let's say, a gas burner, but transferring the flame from a candle...
Oh, so the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to transfer fires, not to start new fires, right? So every Yom Tov, people who Baruch Hashem have parents, they're not letting Yahrzeit candles, no Yahrzeit. There's no Yizkor, it's the first days of Yom Tov, but they take a Yahrzeit candle, a candle lasts for more than 24 hours, light it with a locus and eris, and leave it. And then you could always transfer fire from that flame to some other flame, because you're not being mamzer, you're not being moiled. Until 15, 20 years ago, we had a gas oven. Many of you will still have these. I think at night you still have them. You have gas ovens that have pilot lights. It means that there's an ongoing light within the oven. You have the same thing in hot water burners. You have an ongoing pilot light. It's there all the time. A person goes away for a period of time. Maybe they sometimes knock it off. But others, they keep it. It's always going. Most non-electric heating systems have pilot lights. And then when the system wants the light, the flame to go up, so then the gas is brought over the flame. So until 15, 20 years ago, every oven had a pilot light. When you turned on the oven, you were really bringing fuel to the flame, and you were and that fuel and that flame would then be directed around the bottom of the oven. So if a person has a pilot light, there's no problem. Even the top, the range, was the same thing. The oven had an ongoing pilot light under the range. When you opened up the burners, so it gave a gas feed from the range to where you're going to cook. So that was mutter and Yom Tov, because there was always a flame there. When you wanted to cook, you were not being mamzi or moilin. The flame was always there. You were simply moving the flame, providing more fuel, directing the flame. Turning it off could be a problem. Turning it off is machabe. Isn't mutter to turn it off? Isn't mutter to turn it down? It's also machabe. But you're allowed to keep it off until you need it on Yom Tov. Electric ovens, electric ranges, poskim may not make along. Why? Because electric ranges, electric ovens, usually when you turn it on, you begin a coil. You run electricity through the coil. So according to many poskim, Nachiezer, electricity itself is a problem. So that's also. And in this case, it would be a problem in any event because the coil becomes red hot. The Rambam writes, whenever metal becomes red hot, it's an issur d'oraisa of mavir. So an electric oven, you couldn't turn on. There's no way to transfer fire to an electric oven. The way electric oven works is a hot coil, turn it on, you activate the coil, it becomes red hot, it cooks. Top of a burner, electric top of the burner, same thing. You turn it on, it runs electricity through a coil, becomes red hot, osur. What are you allowed to leave an electric oven on, or electric burner on, and then turn it up on Yom Tov? So the poskim who researched it said no, it's osur. Why? Because when you turn an electric oven or electric range higher, you're shutting off certain circuitry and starting other circuitry. In other words, if you want to raise an electric oven from 250 to 350, so in your mind you think, well, it just stays on longer. Or maybe they raise the current. That's not what happens. What happens is that the circuitry that provides the 250 shuts down. And the circuitry that provides the 350 turns on. So you're being moiled, you're being mechaba and moiled. So that's why the Haskama Poskim is that for an electric range, electric oven, you can't do anything. That's something that has to be researched once every couple of years. You have to research it, because every couple of years there might be some changes in the way that electric ovens and electric ranges work. As far as I know, that's still correct for electric ranges. There could be certain ovens that work a little bit differently, and it'd be important every so often to update oneself, go on websites and make sure that you're up to date on the latest electric ovens or certainly when a Bala Bus asks you about a stove that she's putting in her kitchen, she wants to know what to do for Yom Tov, so do the research to make sure that what I'm telling you now is still accurate, because it could be that for certain brands, or it could be that in short periods of time this might change. So, but as I understand the engineering presently, so electric ovens, electric ranges have to be put on Erev Yom Tov and left on as they are. You can't raise them or lower them on Yom Tov. What about the modern gas range, the modern gas oven? So what's changed is that pilot lit ovens and ranges are no longer being manufactured, as far as I understand. They're being legislated out for safety reasons, and therefore there's no pilot light. If there's no pilot light, so how are you going to light your range or your oven? So the range, you have several possibilities. The ranges now come with an electric igniter. So you open the gas and the spark, and simultaneously, and that creates the flame. Okay, now, if you have a range where when you open the dial, the electric igniter is at the end of the dial. Right, so it means you're opening the dial, gas is coming out. You're opening it more gas coming out. More gas coming out. And then you hit the end of the circle, and it goes bang, it goes tss. That means your igniter is at the end of your circle. So, very easy to do with the Yom Tov. You open up a little bit, let the gas come out, you go to your yard side candle, you lit Erev Yom Tov, and you transfer fire, Gevaldin. So then you've created your own pilot light. You're not mumpsy any new ur. The ur was there on the yard side candle. That's your pilot light. And you're transferring it to the gas. Gevaldin, solve the problem. Easy. But what happens if your electric night is at the beginning of the range? So what happens is that as soon as you turn the dial, right away here, the electric igniter. So then, and within a nanosecond, the gas comes up. So then you're being mamsi, being moitziur. That's awesome. So there are two possibilities. One is sometimes you have to experiment. Sometimes you can bypass, if you're very fast, it's on the wrist. If you're very fast, then you can bypass the electric igniter. Right? And very few times it will not go on. So then you're okay. If you don't hear any cracking, sparking, you bypass it, good. So now you're letting gas out, right? You go back and you transfer the fire from the yard to the candle. On the other hand, if you have a new oven, a new range, and every time, or most of the times when you turn it, you get the electric spark, so then you have to leave it on from Erev Shabbos, from Erev Yom Tov, in order that if you want to abuse it on Yom Tov. Because there's no other way, to my understanding, of how you can get that particular burner on Yom Tov. What about the oven? So the oven, you don't have this option of bringing a flame from another place, because it's the flames are in the innards, in the gut of the oven. You can't easily access them. So the for the oven, you have to leave it on from Erev Yom Tov, and you're always allowed to raise it if you need it. In other words, you leave it on at 100, 150, whatever, and then the recipe calls for 350. Simply 350. Good. Are you allowed to turn it down after you've used it? So you've used your range, you've used your burner, you cooked, you boiled up something, so you had to turn it up to high. Now you finish cooking, you finish boiling it. Can you turn it down? So the pasha is that you're not allowed to turn it down, because being makdin ur is also being mechaber. The Gemara says, "Amistapik mina Hashem and Shemener." You take a little bit of oil, so that taking oil from the Ur is also mechave. Taisa says because when you take a little bit of Ur, so there is some impact right away on the candle. So that should be the dinir as well. Then it should be osir to turn the range down. It should be osir to turn the oven down. The only time it would be mutter is if you need to keep the food warm, and if you leave it high, it'll burn. Right? For example, let's say you're cooking something on top of the burner, and cooking a soup on top of the burner. All right, so it cooks, it boils, it's going valdig, right? An hour or 2 hours goes, and the soup's fully cooked. But it's not your time to eat. So you want to keep it. So if you keep it on a high flame, then it's going to cook away, and it's going to evaporate, and it get very, very salty. So you want to keep it on a low fire. Okay, so then you're doing mechabe letzor chachol nefesh, mutter. Right? So chachom in a beroisha, you could work it out this way. But the only time that you're allowed to do mechave is if that's the tzorech chol nefesh. And the only time you're allowed to do that is if you need to keep it warm. And the person, it has to be a significantly experienced difference between keeping it on the fire, high in the fire, and low in the fire. In other words, you can't say, oh, I think it tastes a little better if it's warm. Right? You can't say, I can't serve it when it's piping hot. Yeah, you can't. So you take it out the 5 minutes earlier. Right? But if it's going to get burnt, if it's going to get noticeably different by keeping it in a high fire, then you're allowed to lower the fire. The Mechlekes Rav Moshe Rishon Zalman, even on this Nakuda, because I think Rishon Zalman says, not so fast, you have 4 burners. So if you can raise Amun burner, the left front burner, my right front burner is on a low fire. My left front burner is on a high fire because I'm cooking my soup. Right? So, am I allowed to turn? My soup is fully cooked, I have to keep it warm. So, in this situation, I can turn my right front burner down because I can just shift it over to the left front burner. But let's say it's a situation where my left front burner is very, very low. Or my left front burner is off, but I could transfer fire from the yahrzeit candle. So Shlomo Zalman said, I have to transfer my light from the yahrzeit candle before I do mechabe on my right front burner. And Moshe said, not so. Moshe said, no. You got one burner going, it's there. You're allowed to turn it down. You don't have to start looking for other possible burners. But that would be that situation. There is a huge chiddush from Rav Moshe, his own shita. What I said just now was Rav Moshe saying it for everybody else's shita. Rav Moshe is a huge chiddush that one is allowed to turn gas flames down on Yom Tov, and he said it's not mechabe. Why is it not mechabe? Because you're taking the fuel away from the flame, as opposed to, I'm not sure the end, how to finish the sentence. But that was Rav Moshe's chiddush. Rav Moshe, when he was very, very young, he wrote, that I not very, very young, when he first read a shoot, first started writing shoot, he says, I have a chiddush in the area, but he didn't write it because he knew that other poskim, specifically the Chazanish, was very much against this idea. He didn't... It's hard to understand what Rav Moshe's chiddush is in light of a mistapik menor. As Rav Moshe has a chiddush that mistapik menor is not exactly taking the fuel away from the fire, but over here where the fire is being fed by bringing fuel in, so he thought stopping the fuel from coming, that was different enough that it's not part of the din of mistapik menor. Again, it's very hard to understand exactly. Later on, Rav Moshe wrote a little bit more of his chiddush, and the Jews who grew up in the Lower East Side, they confirmed for me that this was Rav Moshe's hayra. So even though he did not write it to befem only in the tshuvas, but Lower East Side, it was very mekubal that people turned their ovens down on Yom Tov, because that was Rav Moshe's psak. But outside the Lower East Side, This approach of Rav Moshe, I don't believe, is widely accepted. It's not fully understood. And outside of Lomi's side, I don't believe it's widely accepted. And again, if a person is a Talmud of Rav Moshe, a person grew up in the Lower East Side, if people in my shul, so I said, if you grew up in the Lower East Side, then Kaboli v'yedchem, then of course you can follow that. But if you didn't grow up in the Lower East Side, then the Talmud of Rav Moshe, you go to MTJ, so then it's very hard to be samech on this. There is a more recent shuva by Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Nachum Rabinovich, this became very, had a big splash about him because he was co-opted in the Beis Din to Megayer, my name is Nadja, I forget the name, in Eretz Yisrael. I think he's an Adam Godol, he's Adam Godol Moed, he's Shas Rabba Munach Mekaf Yodai. I had the zchus of growing up in a shul. So he has a sefer of tshuvas called the Siach Nochem. He's most famous for the Yad Pshuta, which is a series on most of the Rambam. Mirtz Hashem will complete the series, L'Mirchus Yom HaVishonim. But it's a running parish of the Rambam with many, many great insights. But he has two sum of tshuvas. One is called Siach Nochem. So in Siach Nochem, he has the following aura. He says, he doesn't accept Rav Moshe's mahalach, but turning the flame, the fire, the fuel off. He also says, the Gemara talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about having a pile of wood, and you're not allowed to pull out any piece of wood which is somewhat involved in the fire. You can pull in a piece of wood which is far away from the fire. But a piece of wood that's already bounded up in the wood that's already on fire, you can't pull it out. But he says, but there has to be some shear. Right? And he says, you can't imagine that if you go to the central PSENG faucet that's giving fuel, giving gas to the entire town, you can't imagine somebody turns that off that they're going to be over mechaba because of my burner in my particular in my stove. There has to be some point where you're saying this is no longer mechaba, it's no longer moving mistabik shem manur. At some point you have to say halacha is that if you have a madura, you have a fire and you have a piece of wood that's on the side, you can take the piece of wood away. So he said, there has to be some shear. So he suggests that if one knows where the gas comes into the house, and when it turns the gas on at that point, he thinks that would be mutter on Yom Tov. But that's makes a lot of sense. If Americans don't really know where our major faucet is, and we wouldn't do it because then after Shabbos, after Yom Tov, we have to start lighting our pilot lights of our hot water. So it's not that practical. But it's an interesting aura, Sirchi and Rav, exactly at what point, right? Somebody asked me a question, can I install a valve in my gas system that's not attached to the oven to turn off the gas coming in? So some point, there has to be some point where it's mutter to turn that valve off. But halacha l'maisa, the way that we know our homes, we don't know them so well, and we should be very nervous about turning gas on and off in the houses. And so it is a good thing not to be so comfortable with it. So once you've lit a fire, so then you cannot lower it. Once you've lit the fire Erev Yom Tov, you can raise it. Right? Then several years ago, the Star K under Heinemann Shlita came out with the Shabbos mode ovens. Shabbos mode has three facets to it. Right? What number one, it's a fascinating phenomena in and of itself, that a kashrus agency was able to have the impact on major American manufacturers like Whirlpool and everyone, and have them do a Shabbos mode. It's fascinating itself. In terms of the development of halacha, it's also a new kind of a parsha, one which is not a healthy one, where the halacha is being sort of taught to the consumer and gets to the rabbanim via the consumer. That's not a good situation. But looking at the issue itself, there are three aspects of a Shabbos mode oven. One is that it has been legislated, I believe, that ovens turn themselves off after 12 hours. You cannot leave an oven going for more than 12 hours. So I don't know if it's all states, but in certain states, this has been legislated. This is obviously not good for a Yom Tov, right? So the Shabbos mode is a bypasses that, not legislation, but the Shabbos mode turns off, it disables the 12-hour cutoff. That's a very important thing to have for Yom Tov. Right? Next, the Shabbos mode also turns off any lights that go on when you open the doors. So no problem. Prefiguration. Also a very important element to have in one's oven. That's both for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. Right? The third thing that the Shabbos mode does, which is very, very questionable and not accepted by the overwhelming majority of poskim, is that on Yom Tov, it is advertised that if your oven is, let's say, 250, so then it creates a blind pad. In other words, the pad usually has the keypad tells you that you're at 250, and you press a button, it goes to 260, and press it again, 270, press it again, 280. So on Shabbat and Yom Tov, that would be a problem of exception in Miskayim. So it blinds the pad. So as long as you remember where you were at, is that you began Yom Tov at 250, so you press it once, so now you know it's 260. Again, 270, 280. So you can get up to 360. Now, then Rav Heinemann put in a time delay. Right? A randomized time delay. So when you press the button, it doesn't go to 260 right away. It registers that it wants to go up 10 degrees. And then, this goes beyond my understanding, when something cycles through, so then it cycles through and then it registers the click and it goes to 260. All right? Then it'll cycle through again and then get to the click, 270, 280. So he introduced a randomized time delay, and by that Rabbi Heinemann argues that this is either mutter or some form of groma that would be mutter. Because I'm not doing it directly, I'm only setting up a situation, and then when something reaches a certain point which has been delayed, so then the instruction follows through. Right? Now it's probably based on a reading of Rav Heinemann did write a tshuva in this, and I did read it several years ago and I remember it so well. But it could be based on a Rashba and Shabbos that may say, but probably does not say, that time delay becomes a groma that is mutter. It's probably not what the Rashba said, but it certainly could be read that way. So again, that Rav Heinemann is one of the great poskim in America, and a Rav has to go through the material to know where to form a decision, you know, to be able to instruct his community how to keep food warm or hot or cooked on the course of the Yom Tov. Most poskim that I'm familiar with did not accept Rav Heinemann's approach, and that is because when something will certainly happen, then it's not considered grom. It's a ma'aseh b'yadayim. If I do an act and I will for sure cause a certain event, then that's a ma'aseh. That's not groma. Groma is only if I do a certain act and there is some degree of doubt as to whether the event will happen or not. So in Shabbos, the Gemara says, if I open up a door and there's a ruach sheinu mitzuyah, and I know there's a storm wind outside, I know when I open the door, the storm wind will come in and blow in a candle, I can't open the door. Right? I'm doing a ma'aseh b'yadayim, and I'm not blowing the wind, right? I'm just allowing the wind to come through. So but since it will certainly happen, so that's not called a groma. The examples of groma that the Mishnah brings about setting up, having a fire coming, setting up casks of water so that the fire will crack it, the Gemara says there's some element of Sofek as to when it's going to happen or not. So if there's an element of Sofek, then your wife will not be happy with this model being in the Shabbos mode, because she's not going to cook a Yom Tov, she's not going to prepare a Yom Tov and invite guests and say, maybe it'll be hot, maybe it'll cook or not. She knows it's for sure going to cook. She's for sure going to get this oven up to 350, right? So then Rabbi Heinemann says, but since there's some time delay involved, since it's not simultaneous, that's called a groma, a muteris. And again, Lania's deity, that's not, it was not mukubal. For the reason that I explained. What happened was, is maybe 4 or 5 years ago, a kol kore came out against the head of the Shabbos Mon Heter. It was poorly orchestrated because it came out, I think, a few days before Pesach. And this was years after the Shabbos Mon was out there. Already. So that's already not such a smart thing to do, to put on a kol kore either. About the problem, either when it comes out right away, or it's any time to think about it, that's correct, to talk about it, have to have a few tshuvas, but not right before Yom Tov. You do it at least a week before the Yom Tov, in order to give people a chance. So, but that's when it became, maybe that's why it became, well, no, maybe they're smarter than me. Maybe they thought to put it a week before Yom Tov, people, then I'll get to it, I'll read it at Chol Moed. But then it came out much before Yom Tov, so then people became more aware of it. Again, it was the kind of thing that when it came out, so that when the Shiloh was asked, so I think Rabbanim dealt with it. Many Rabbanim didn't deal with it until the Kol Kore came out, and that makes it puts a person under much greater pressure. So again, one of the things you have to review is this whole parsha of. And it's specifically the parsha of the Shabbos Motz, that you'll have a position on it, and that you'll be able to instruct your balabatim not Erev Yom Tov, but when they call before Yom Tov, or when you give shurim in advance of Yom Tov, so that your balabatim can plan accordingly. Got any questions on ovens and stoves and Shabbos Motz? Go ahead.
Just turning it down would also be machal, it would be the same thing we said before, turning down the stove top.
I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes. I don't even know if the. I don't. I'm just not unaware if there's any gimmick in the turning down. Sometimes, but I think it would be a problem.
You press a button and then it goes down.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I think it would also be a problem. Yeah. Now, what is mutter though? You probably can have a goy do any of these things, right? A goy doing moilin, l'tzarech. In other words, the question would come up, if I have a goy around, do I have to leave my oven on before Yom Tov? So let's analyze it. Turning an oven on is Havar is Mutar Zochel Nefesh. It's also Mamtzi Or. Mamtzi is a Drabbanon. To have a goy do a Drabbanon is a Shvus to Shvus. So Tzorech Mitzvah is Mutar. What's a Tzorech Mitzvah? Tzorech Mitzvah that I want to have hot food on Yom Tov? No, that Tzorech Mitzvah I should have done by turning on myself before Yom Tov. But let's say a person who says it's Shavuos, it's going to be very, very hot. If I keep my oven on all of Yom Tov, it's going to be very, very uncomfortable. All right, I think that's reasonable. So that could be a reason to have a goy turn it down, because that's also the Rabbanon, or to have a goy turn it up. Okay. I'm not saying Shabbos one, I'm saying without Shabbos one. If a goy doing Shabbos one is certainly okay. But having a goy without the Shabbos one. So that I think would be mutter. What about when I open the oven? On Shabbos, when I open the oven, is a problem.
Just to clarify that point, so even if there's an electric ignition and being molded the ash, if it would be to because it's very hot outside or it's not safe, then Rabbi would say it's okay for...
Right, there's three reasons that people ask. Either because they want to save money, so I don't think that's enough of a tzerech mitzvah timat u'shvus t'shvus, right? Or for safety reasons. So safety reasons is certainly a reason to do the shus to shus. Only kasha, if it's unsafe, why is it on the first night? In other words, one will say, a person will call up and say, I want to leave my oven on from every Yom Tov till I finish cooking in Yom Tov afternoon for safety reasons. So I said, for safety reasons, I'm a sucker for safety reasons. But I just don't get it. Because if it's safe enough from Hadlokas and Eros till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's not a safety problem, so why? I don't understand. If it's a safety problem that requires a cooler, then it should be out to begin with. So that's Tzorech Yindol. But go ahead, yeah. And if it's because it's getting too hot, so that's the Chara. That's the Tzorech Mitzvah Lachara, yeah.
I could ask a guy both to turn it on and to turn it off if it's to...
Depending on the tzarech, depending on the tzarech, right? Depends on the tzarech. If it's, if the things were carefully. If it'll be on overnight and it won't be so hot, so then I shouldn't have the goy, then I should leave it on for Erev Yom Tov, should be the tzarech.
Say for safety reasons, I don't want to leave my oven on from before, so I'll have
a guy
turn it on for me on
Yom Tov,
and then turn it off when I'm done.
I think, yeah. I have lots of little kids running around. I have a low oven and big kids, right? So, some combination. So, so that's, yeah, if a person's genuinely concerned about safety, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Back in the Rebbe was speaking about turning on the range for the gas oven. Sounds very similar to a trip one could probably pull the barbecue if
you
wanted to do that.
Yeah, So one question that remains is, why am I allowed to open my oven door on Yom Tov? So I'm going to explain a little bit, explain it well. Nowadays, there are no pilot lights, so if you're hanging out in the kitchen, every so often something's cooking here, clicks. What's happening is that the thermostat in your oven, you set it for 350. As soon as it built up to 350, so then the gas is pulled back. Then, when the thermostat senses that it's gone down below 350, so then the thermostat creates the electric ignition, and that's the sparking, and that's the click, 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 and the new gas is brought through and reignited. Right, so on Shabbos, I can't open my oven door, because if I open my oven door, so then most of the time, the inside of my oven is at equilibrium. So most of the time, your oven is at the place where you set it. And the insulation is so good right now that it stays, and then after a while, it dips down, and then the ignition goes on. The thermostats are so sensitive now that if it goes down 5 degrees, it'll already kick on the electric igniter. So you can experiment, you can see that by opening the door within a few seconds, the igniter will go on. So that's the Chorpsik Reisha. That's why in Shabbos, it's a problem to open the door of an ongoing oven. Right? That's the problem of Chorpsik Reisha. Again, there is a Sivar Lahokel, which is Tzorchi and Godol, that if you open the oven door and you remove all the food, then it's a Psik Reisha Deloy Nechale, but still in a day Raisa, no? Because that's Havara. Yeah. So I'm not sure why that should work. But let's say it's Yom Tov. So in Yom Tov, how can I open my oven door? Right? So the answer is because on Yom Tov it's a psik reisha, either on a havora she efshar lasoys miyesmo, right, which is mutter, or on moilid, so it's a havora on a drabonim, a psik reisha on a drabonim. So psik reisha on a drabonim is a big machlokes achronim, but a psik reisha on a drabonim l'tzorich mitzvah, so most achronim are meikel. So, in order that my food should be cooked and warm for Yom Tov, Chatzerach Mitzvah, so that's why I'm allowed to open my oven door. I have to worry about that. And Shabbos is a problem of segregation. And Yom Tov is not a problem of segregation. Right? And Shabbos, I don't want to present it as uniformly as I did. I think what I'm saying is correct. But there are others who do feel differently, and that it's not a segregation. Opening the oven door on Shabbos. It feels the Dovashin Miskavin. I'm not sure if that's correct, but I doubt it. But I don't want to present something that's incorrect. There is a group of Rabbanim who feel, of Poskim, Chashuvim, who feel that it's not that Dovashin Miskavin.
Why is it molded?
It is it. Because what's happening is there's no fire. But the thermos, once it builds up to the heat, the degree that I set it for 360. Once it builds to 360, it shuts down. So the old oven, it shut down to the pilot light. But the new oven's down completely. Nothing. Nothing's happening. Then when the thermostat senses it as 355, so then it it puts into place two things. Number one is the gas comes on and the igniter comes on.
If let's say you open your oven door and the element's not on, nothing's going on, is there any problem turning the oven off at that point? If there's no flame, no gas being sent in, right, then...
Turning the dial when nothing's going on is mutter.
And raising
if the gas is coming through and there's no flame, so that's mutter and probably mechuyev to turn it down, right? Some say the dial could be muktzah, so that's a turn it a little bit of machinery.
And turning it up.
Even without that, it's a sakana. You could even muktzah.
Say it again.
If it's a sakana,
yeah.
It's not a real sakana.
Yeah.
Muktzah doesn't play muktzah.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And turning it up while the element is on would also be okay.
Yeah, turning it up should be in any gas situation should be mutter. Yeah, yeah.
You have to check if the element is off, would turning it up when turning it on
be a problem? Yeah.
Yes, you have to wait until it comes back on and then.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So turning anything up on Yom Tov L'tzorach is mutter. Yeah. Opening the door when the element is on is also mutter. Asayin Shabbos, asayin Yom Tov. Yeah, you have to have a shayla and Shabbos will be mutter. Good? Okay. So then, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is a particularly as an aggravating shayla. Why? Because it was Dover Mokubal Mufursum that a Jew who goes to Eretz Yisrael, a Jew from America, who goes to Eretz Yisrael, keeps 2 days Yom Tov. That's where it was. The Deridaris. And then, when, and I'll explain everything with greater detail as we go along, when people became more aware of Ha'orah that Reb Chaim made, so that maybe when a Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael, American Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael on second day Yom Tov, so it was Rav Chaim was machmir that on the second day Yom Tov one should be concerned to put on tefillin, maybe concerned not to say tadam shel chayil. So some people adopted that practice. Al lechumra, not lekula. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Paskin that way, only lechumra, to be concerned to put on tefillin b'tzina if cholamoid and abe b'tzina even the last day, to be careful about what brachas to say, and then my understanding of the situation is that when Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias in Eretz Yisrael became much more difficult to keep. In other words, as Baruch Hashem, more and more people made Aliyah, and more, the Shiloh was not coming from people who are going to Eretz Yisrael to spend a Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, going to spend Sukkot in Eretz Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. No, they're going to visit their children, their grandchildren in Eretz Yisrael. So that they brought the sister in Eretz Yisrael. So now it becomes a big source of aggravation. Second, the Yom Tov, that's the day when they're all going into Yulim. So my children and grandchildren, I came to spend time with them. And they're going on the Tiyul. I'm gonna rent a car and a day later find them in the Galil, find them in Gedi, see where they're staying to spend time with them. So it became very, very difficult. It became very uncomfortable. So that fueled, and this is my jaundiced way of looking at it, my cynical way of looking at it, that fueled a reevaluation of Allah, which is always good. It's always good. That situation creates a reevaluation, but the reevaluation should have ended up in the same place as where the halacha was all the time. And then people became aware of a chacham tziyut, which we'll discuss, and the ha'orah of Chaim, which became a source l'chumra, became a chumra shasi dekula. And as a result, there are some bona fide poskim who are makel on second day Yom Tov. There are for Jews who are visiting Eretz Yisrael. There are bona fide poskim who are makel in many, many nuanced situations of a Jew visiting Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov. But there are many people who either don't have shaylas or reevaluated in a way that is not at all mainstream and not at all kifi minigar poskim, and then that leniency became almost a political concern. As you read, you'll see that some people define sociological groups like modern Orthodoxy based on the original ones were attitudes towards Limud Chol, attitudes towards women, towards Kirov, and then they added in Kolisha, they added in Yotav Shein Shalvat Yitzrol. So these are all, I find this very troubling. So now let's go to the sources will come, and let's look at the halacha, and then you'll see why what I'm saying is correct. When you get your positions, you'll have to evaluate. The halacha is like this, that Shulchan Aruch says that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus should be treated as a minug and should be have the rulings of that a person has a certain minug in their town and they go to a different town, they keep the chumra hamokam shiyotze misham with the chumra hamokam shenichnesu lasham. All right, Shulchan Aruch only discusses the Jew who goes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. He does not discuss the Jews coming to Eretz Yisrael, right? And the Nosei Kelim point out that a Jew is going from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, so he keeps the Chumras Hamokam Sheyotza Misham. So that means he keeps the Minag of Chutz Laretz to keep the second day Yom Tov. All right, the Kachoya Mukubal, right? That's the way we put it very, very simply. And that's why for Adayim Azeh, but in years gone by, to much greater extent, they were chutznik minyanim, and people would have chutznik minyanim on second day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. It's a shaylus, this is good to do. It's good kashas, good shaylus. But that's the way it was commonly practiced. People didn't. There was a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, a very difficult tshuva to understand. Chacham Tzvi said that when a Jew visits Eretz Yisrael, he should not keep second day Yom Tov. Why? Because he says, because if he would end up living in Eretz Yisrael, so then he would not be allowed to keep second day Yom Tov because he's a Bal Tosef. So therefore, if he's visiting Eretz Yisrael, he shouldn't keep second day Yom Tov. Again, Chacham Tzvi says, because if this Jew would end up living, when do we say that the din of chumras hamokam shiyotza misham? That's only if I would end up living there, I would still be allowed to keep that minug. But if by living there I would be able to keep that minug, it would be awesome to keep that minug. So then the rule doesn't apply. As our pelad de gacham, so we don't understand his own the yavetz. I already said we don't understand. You know what the Tata said. We don't understand what the Sfardi didn't call Tata. We don't understand what he said. But you know the and later poskim. It's a difficult Chacham Tzvi. What I think the Chacham Tzvi is saying is that the nusach is that when you come to a new place, you keep the chumra samvokam shiatzim shom. So you can't call it a chumra if it would end up being a cool if I'd stay there. I think that's what he's saying. Chazal were misaking, and you could explain that you keep the chumras hamokim. All of these halachas are based on chumras hamokim shenichnu misham is based on maintaining shol in the new place. Chumras hamokim shiyotzu misham, that's part of the halachas of nedarim, part of whatever you call it, whatever minig is part of. So I think what he's saying, it's not called chumras hamokim because if I would end up staying in this place, it would be osir. So it's a kula. All right, Chacham Tzvi again is the. We can't criticize a Chacham Tzvi. And criticize a person of such stature. But it was not Islam Makubal. Right? It's not widely accepted. We don't fully understand it. Alright. Rav Chaim had the following horror. Rav Chaim had the horror that if you look at the Gemara in Beya, the Gemara says that Sholchu Misam, after they stopped doing Kiddush Levona Al Pi Hari'iyah, then Sholchu Misam, they said, should we still be keeping Yom Tov Sheni So they sent back from Eretz Yisrael, Hizaru minega b'seichem b'yadeichem. Shem yachs adobel kukula. So Chaim said, why didn't they simply say, keep Yom Tosheni? But no, I have to send back a note. Hizaru minega b'seichem b'yadeichem. So Chaim said, yesh l'dayek, we should medayek over here, that what Chazal is saying is, keep it in the way that it was always kept. Keep the old minhag. All right. So Chaim said, I have a suffix. What's my suffix? If a Jew, bizman, they were mekadesh al piyuriyu, would come to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laretz, a guy would come from Spain, and he come to Eretz Yisrael, bizman, kiddush al piyuriyu, nu, would he keep 1 day or 2 days? Pashas, he'd keep only 1 day. Right? Pashas, he kept the old minhag, he's a suffix. Now there's no suffix. So Chaim said, now I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I come, so I come from, if a Jew comes now, and it's Alal Piyah Luach, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, so he's our minhag, what was the minhag of Yisechem? The minhag of Yisechem was that if I was living, if I stayed in Brisk, I have 2 days Yom Tov. But the minhag of Yisechem would have been, if there would have been Brisk, because Man HaTalmud, the Brisk would come to Eretz Yisrael, they would keep only 1 day. So the old minhag is that a Jew from Chutz Laretz, right? So therefore, Chaim said, not all the dieted to be Mekel. Chaim said, therefore, put on tefillin. I'm not sure exactly what he said. It's all them, sir. I'm not sure. It's not Bechsab. But Chaim raised the question b'tovs chumra, right? Should you make, maybe it's a bracha levatolah. Rav Shmuel Salant, the Rabbi Rashi of Yerushalayim, the turn of the previous century. Again, a man of fantastic stature. Rav Shmuel Salant, we do know what he said because in one of the old luchos of Eretz Yisrael, they record Rav Shmuel Salant's Mahalach. In the Sefer Yerachayish Van Mikdash, Rav Chaim by Rav Michal Tukatzinski, also Yerushalmi, a great note, he records this Rav Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant says that because of the Ha'or, I think he quotes the Chacham Tzvi, I think so, and believe because of this svara, so he has an elaborate way of telling you exactly how to make kiddush, how to listen to another Jew who says kiddush, who didn't get this email, right? A Jew still holding by the old, right? What to daven, when to daven? He goes to Rachel Bitcha Ktana, how a Jew should navigate this suffix. He doesn't say don't keep Yom Tov Sheni. He doesn't say he can do their abonans, right? He says, I'll tell you how to run your Seder, which brachas to say, but not to say. Right? I'll tell you how to do your Kiddush. So that was the chumrah of Shmuel Salant, although he was very, very, he really held that this was a very important horror. In other words, he really held Rav Chaim Sofik should be the deen. I remember that when I was younger, so people asked me, so I would instruct them like this, Mahalach, and then they all have to know how to do PR and Halacha. So then it was known, even to this day, it's known as a day and a half, right? So I went through the Shmuel Salant. The person was a Ben Torah, and he came to me after, he said, Rebbe, you can't, it's impossible. It's impossible. And he said, and by the way, it shouldn't be called a day and a half, it should be called 2.5 days, right? And he's right. It's because it's 2 days of Yom Tov, plus another half of the Chumras, and maybe it's not Yom Tov. Right, if they would have advertised it as 2.5 days, no, it would have never led to a cooler. But since it advertises 1.5 days, so people think that Rav Aaron meant to be Mekel. Rav Aaron didn't mean to be Mekel. He meant, as far as I again, I only spoke this Talmidim. He meant to be Choishesh with this particular chumrah. There is a position of Rav Shlomo of the Alter Rebbe, which again is difficult to understand al pi din. Alter Rebbe writes al pi nister that chutz ta'aretz needs the shef of kedusha of the second day, and so it doesn't need the shef of kedusha of the second day. So the Alter Rebbe seemed to indicate that he would hold that if an Eretz Yisrael diker in chutz la'aretz keeps 2 days Yom Tov, and a chutz in Eretz Yisrael keeps 1 day Yom Tov. But again, it's a psak al pi nister. It's not usually the way that we operate. In any event, so that's the lay of the land, so to speak. So when a Jew goes to Eretz Yisrael nowadays, so it is very, very difficult. I'm not saying it isn't difficult. Baruch Hashem, that's because more and more Jews are back in Eretz Yisrael. It's the way it's supposed to be. I haven't seen inside, but I was told the Rav Goren, the great Talmud Chacham, was Moira Halacha Lahakel for a Jew who Chutznik was in Eretz Yisrael for second day Yom Tov. And there are probably others as well of stature who are Makel. But Lachar, it's a very, very difficult kula to really consider in the bold when a simple case of when a Jew from Chutzar is visiting Israel for Yom Tov. It's very, very difficult. It's against the Minig HaPoiskim L'Deres. The Chacham Tzvi was not widely accepted. The Alter Rebbe's Svara, I'm not sure the Babish is accepted. I don't know what they do in Kfar Chabad. I don't know. But but certainly not the way that we operate. Reb Chaim Svara, again, it's a beautiful, beautiful Mahalach. It's a good Mahalach. Makes imminent sense, but it is still a chiddush and a diuk, which has to be bolstered with either with people who are knowing that, who are machriya that way, or with other rayas before one changes a mahalach that was always kept in a certain way. There are nuances, right? That's where it becomes a little bit foggy. Let's say a person is has a home in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So again, Lanias Daite, I would say, but where do you live? If you live in Chutzlar, you live in Chutzlarts, right? Because I have a home in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's a great thing. I also have to have a home in Eretz Yisrael, but I think it's wonderful. But it doesn't make you in Eretz Yisrael, right? Maybe you vote there, still doesn't make you Eretz Yisrael. Vote it good, still doesn't make you Eretz Yisrael. You're still a Chutznik. When do you become an Yisrael dicker? When you live in Eretz Yisrael, right? So then you can discuss. I live there part of the time, some of the time. All right, so let's discuss. There is a mahalach which is very well known by Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if you're in Eretz Yisrael for all Yom Tov, so then you're a ben Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. Again, I'm not sure exactly who says it. So again, I have a hard time understanding it, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is Shlomo Zalman. So that's hard to be machmer against Rav Shlomo Zalman, who essentially held that one has to be machmer, but he held in this case it's already considered to be a ben eretz yisrael. So there could be various nuances, right? Where things are different, where there are parts of the family, there are families that are there, and a child is over here, a family there, a child is studying. There could be different mahalchei. Everything has to be figured out by gedolei haposkim. But that's the, as far as I understand it, that's the. Those are the shittas, and it's the kind of thing that a rav has to have a position, because you don't want to paskin out under pressure. You don't get a call from a person found here to Yisrael, and he's planned renting a bus for his entire family, and he calls it from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, "By the way, can I go on the bus?" So that's so if you know what your position is, you have to paskin. But you want to know in advance what to take a stand on. Go ahead, Yisrael.
Yeah, Rav Shlomo Zalman is cheaper. Was that been like even just for that year?
So I can't say because I have not seen it b'chsav. Is it a per year basis? I got that impression, but I can't say which. I got that impression.
Because I've heard like in the Gemara of Lazi says that if you personally decide to live there, like someone would offer you a job.
So there are different. There are people who have asked when they're in Eretz Yisrael. Guys in Eretz Yisrael. So their poskim will have the orientation of you're living in Eretz Yisrael, right? Your family's in Chutz Laaretz. Your wife and kids are there, but everybody knows you're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're supposed to be here. And you are here. So they have an orientation. So you're here. So you're living here. You're going back because your family's there? No, all right, so you have to go back. It's a strange... So there are posts who would say, let's say a guy's in Kolel, he's there with his family in Eretz Yisrael, he plans to come back. So then let's say, if you'd get a job tomorrow, would you stay here? So that already makes that I understand. The guy's living, he's living in Eretz Yisrael. Eli plans to go back, but if Parnas would work out, he would stay there. All right, I can see that calling that living in Eretz Yisrael. Right. But again, the different orientations, which may be much purer than, comes from a neshama elyona, that it's so patently obvious that you're supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, so it's how can you imagine calling yourself a chutznik? Right? So those are orientations, which tzarechim, go ahead. I would doubt it. That's my impression, yeah.
Also,
but again, I haven't seen it myself, so I don't know for sure.
Also, according to Chaim, isn't there like a stira in terms of what you're doing? If you're doubting Tilas Hall, you're wearing Tilin, but you're also keeping.
When did the Tartar say, Sassim, Rabbi Brisker? The reason why it's not, if it's all done outside of Sofek, so it's not a Tartar to Sassim. In other words, it's all done outside of Sofek. I'm doing a Sheval Taisa. No, that's not a problem. I'm not doing Molochis outside of Sofek. And I'm not saying a Baruch Hotel outside of Sofek. I don't think it's a steer. I don't think so.
Adding on to owning
your
own house in
Eretz
Yisrael, or even just going to like a hotel every.
From what I've heard, that it's being there. If I plan to be there, I don't know, for the next for 3 Yom Tovim. That's what I've heard. Mishmo. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do we carry over any of the Yisurim of Amir La'akum by if I'm keeping 2 days, but my cousin is keeping 1 day?
It's a machlokes in Shlomo Zalman and Yosef, whether it was allowed to ask, when is allowed to explicitly ask a Yisrael Dekir to do melacha for the chutznik. If I was makabel Shabbos early, right? Am I allowed to ask another Jew to do malacha for me? So I think there he said it's mutter. It's not like. So I believe Shlomo Zalman said it should be the same thing in Eretz Yisrael also. That if I'm keeping Yavdiv, he's not keeping Yavdiv, so I'm asking him to do something. And well, Yosef thought that it wasn't the same. He thought it was. I don't fully understand. He thought Tosefos is different than. So that's machlokes of poskim.
One of the main arguments for keeping 2 days is from the Gemara in Pesachim about minhag ha'makom, and the Mishnah ends with as long as the purpose of that is not to create machlokes. If one feels that he's in a situation in Israel, let's say in a community where it would raise machlokes if he kept 2 days, would that change anything?
It would change that you should ask Rav Shechter about it, because he has a mahalach in this. Rav Shechter is the only one that I know who's dealt with that issue of keeping, of relaxing the requirement of Yom Tov Sheni because of that kind of a context, what it's going to do. So Rav Shechter has dealt with it. He has been wildly misquoted because of it. He's very, very cautious about it, because years ago, he was wildly misquoted as being Makel second day Yom Tov. That was not the case. It was a very, very specific situation of I forget the exact case, but a group of travelers who were traveling with their Yisrael Dikers, and then he thought that because of Leisus Skoidu, or maybe had your Cheshbon, he thought that they should only keep 1 day. So when those questions come up, I always bring it to Rav Shechter, because it has a mahalach, which I don't fully understand. Because usually we say that there's no problem this is going to do on a Sheval Tasa and not doing something. So whereas it could be that I shouldn't make Kiddush, I shouldn't keep a second Seder, right? I don't see why I should not abstain from the law. Right. So the but again, when those questions come up, I usually bring it to Rav Shechter, because he's a halacha. Go ahead.
Just on that, asking that question of Shechter last year when I stayed with my family.
Oh, good. Let's hear you.
In their apartment, and he said that I should, I'm allowed to do malacha completely with my family. They're keeping one day, even though they're not supposed to. He told me I can keep one day, I can do malacha just as they are. That's what he told me.
Okay.
I was in a similar situation, but he told me.
It's called family planning. Was that?
I was in a similar situation. I guess I was with the family.
One with your own family.
I was with my own family. He told me to keep the Zaken Day, but he said, don't go to Shul Davin Mechidus. Wasn't exactly clear what he meant by that.
I'm not going to Shul, it's very clear, no.
Right. But like,
right, don't go to a Chosnik Minyan.
Right. I mean, there wasn't really a Chosnik Minyan, so he said, just Davin Mechidus.
Okay, so it's halacha in action. So, these have to be worked out. These are all new situations. That has to be worked out. Good, so the third issue we'll just mention very, very briefly is the question which obviously comes up, has been coming up for decades already, is showering on Yom Tov. What are the issues? The issues are is that Bizman HaGemara, Mishnah and Beya says that Roshay Panu Yodav Raglov is a dover shovel chol nefesh, and was allowed to boil up water in order to have hot water for pond of yodav raglo. Okay, beir advar. I have to be careful because we lost 3 minutes and yesterday. So the halacha is that as we began, havara bishol is mutter on yom tov. However, the gemara ksuvus we learned last year said that only for a dover shovel chol nefesh. So Mizmana Gemara, not washing one's hands, Pono Yodav Raglav is a Dov Shavuchol Nefesh. Everybody washed their hands, feet, and face frequently, but the rest of the body was not to have to be frequently bathed. The rest of one's body was not a Dov Shavuchol Nefesh, and therefore, doing a Malacha Ambishol or Avora was awesome. Question, that's Issa number one. Issa number two is a Gemara in Shabbos. The Zeres Balonim, that Chazal made a takona that one isn't allowed to bathe with hot water on Shabbos, even if the hot water was heated up Erev Shabbos. So no malach is being done, nothing, right? You're not swimming, you're not making barrels, it's a raft, you're in a bathtub. Also, because people were heating up water Erev. My watch is slow. Heating up water, Erev Shabbos, and saying that it was that's mamish. So that was called Xeris Habalonim. So, what's the halacha on Yom Tov? So, question obviously is: do we say that Bismaneinu onu in America? We say that it's a davar shabuchol nefesh. That nowadays we say this has changed, and therefore we should be allowed to boil up water or use hot water, and new water will be boiled up in ipsik reisha, and do that on Yom Tov. Question number one. So in that there is a mokim lahokel, right? What's the mokim lahokel? Do we say that this gets reevaluated? So you could say yes, should be read that Chazal said davar shabuchol nefesh. Or do we say, no, what Chazal said, that Pani Raglo, that's the din. So I thought that there's room to be makel because there is a Ksav Sofer that says that if a person, that a malacha that's done to remove tsar, that's a davar shavuchol nefesh. Right? So for an American to go X number of days, you'll pick your number in a moment, without showering, that could be mitzar. Right? So one day is not mitzvah because every Shabbos, right? One day Yom Tov. 2 days, I'm not sure. If a person is mitzvah, in a few hours I'll be able to shower. It'll be Ois Yom Tov. 3 days. So for average Americans, that could be tzar to go 3 days without showering. Right? What about the Xeris Balonim? So Xeris Balonim is a numerous machloikasin. There are Rishonim who say it only applies to Shabbos, not to Yom Tov. The Rishonim who say it only applies to a bath, not to a non-bath, what we call a shower. Didn't have zmanu. Or the Rishonim would say it only applies to hot, not to tepid. So, what I suggest to people ask me, what I say is, if a person is mitzvah, right? If a person is not mitzvah, so then it doesn't get off the ground. the person is mitzar, so I would say on a 3-day Yom Tov, on the second day Yom Tov, and the Yom Tov derabbanan, and if it's a 2-day Yom Tov, so I'm not sure whether it's mutter. If it's Yom Tov and Shabbos, so I would say on the Yom Tov Sheni, wouldn't be allowed to take a tepid shower. Why? Because number one is Yom Tov Sheni to begin with. Yom Tov Sheni Chuzlar, was the Rabbanon, right? The Rabbanon to begin with. Number two, it could be that it's mutter because of Dov Shavuchal Nefesh straight. It could be it's mutter because of Mitzdar, alright? And then it's Xeris Balonim, but it's Yom Tov Sheni, it's the Rabbanon. And I would say it should be tepid, so you can be so mitzdarif. The Rishonim would say tepid is not osir, and it's a bath, it's a shower. So you're mitzdarif for those who say only in a bath, and you're mitzdarif for those who say that it's only in the Beis HaMerchatz, not in the privacy of your own home. So that's why I would think that if you mitzdarif all of these kulas, so then it'd be it's a hero, which I think when. Can teach people, but again, I just outlined the issues, and it's something that you have to go through the sugyas and come to conclusions, so that you know how to be merah halacha. Okay, thank you very much.
That's the show next Tuesday, same time, same place. Everybody, let's speak about Yom Kippur. If I could ask every person here to take.